Hey everybody, good morning and welcome to our morning devotional. We're continuing and actually almost done with our book, our study of the book of Judges. And so today's passage is Judges chapter 20. We'll be reading from verse 18 through the end of the chapter and verse 48. So Judges chapter 20, verses 18 to 48. The people of Israel arose and went up to Bethel and inquired of God, "Who shall go up for us who shall go up first for us to fight against the people of Benjamin?" And the Lord said, "Judah shall go up first." Then the people of Israel rose in the morning and encamped against Gibeah. And the men of Israel went out to fight against Benjamin, and the men of Israel drew up the battle line against them at Gibeah. The people of Benjamin came out of Gibeah and destroyed on that day 22,000 men of the Israelites. But the men of Israel, took courage and again formed the battle line in the same place where they had formed it on the first day. The people of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until the evening. And they inquired of the Lord, "Shall we again draw near to fight against our brothers, the people of Benjamin?" And the Lord said, "Go up against them." So the people of Israel came near against the people of Benjamin the second day. And Benjamin went against them out of Gibeah the second day and destroyed 18,000 men of the people of Israel. All these were men who drew the sword. Then all the people of Israel, the whole army, went up and came to Bethel and wept. They sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And the people of Israel inquired of the Lord, for the Ark of the Covenant of God was there in those days. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, ministered before it in these days, saying, "Shall we go out once more to battle against our brothers, the people of Benjamin, or shall we cease?" And the Lord said, "Go up, for tomorrow I will give them into your hand." So Israel set men in ambush around Gibeah, and the people of Israel went up against the people of Benjamin on the third day, and set themselves in array against Gibeah as at other times. And the people of Benjamin went out against the people and were drawn away from the city. And as at other times, they began to strike and kill some of the people in the highways, one of which goes up to Bethel and the other to Gibeah, and in the open country about 30 men of Israel. And the people of Benjamin said, "They are routed before us as at first." But the people of Israel said, "Let us flee and draw them away from the city to the highways." And all the men of Israel rose up out of their place and set themselves in array at Baal Tamar. And the men of Israel who were in ambush rushed out of their place from Marah Geba. And there came against Gibeah 10,000 chosen men out of Israel, and the battle was hard. But the Benjaminites did not know that disaster was close upon them. And the Lord defeated Benjamin before Israel. The people of Israel destroyed 25,100 men of Benjamin that day. All these were men who drew the sword, so the people of Benjamin saw that they were defeated. The men of Israel gave ground to Benjamin because they trusted the men in ambush whom they had set against Gibeah. Then the men in ambush hurried and rushed against Gibeah. The men in ambush moved out and struck all the city with the edge of the sword. Now the appointed signal between the men of Israel and the men in the main ambush was that when they made a great cloud of smoke rise up out of the city, the men of Israel shall turn in battle. Now Benjamin had begun to strike and kill about 30 men of Israel. He said, "Surely they are defeated before us, as in the first battle." But when the signal began to rise out of the city in a column of smoke, the Benjaminites looked behind them, and behold, the whole of the city went up in smoke to heaven. Then the men of Israel turned, and the men of Benjamin were dismayed, for they saw that disaster was close upon them. Therefore they turned their backs before the men of Israel in the direction of the wilderness, but the battle overtook them. And those who came out of the cities were destroying them in their midst. Surrounding the Benjaminites, they pursued them and trod them down from Nohah, as far as opposite Gibeah on the east. 18,000 men of Benjamin fell, all of them men of valor. And they turned and fled toward the wilderness to the rock of Rimmon. 5,000 men of them were cut down in the highways, and they were pursued hard to Gidom. And 2,000 men of them were struck down. So all who fell that day of Benjamin were 25,000 men who drew the sword, all of them men of valor. But 600 men turned and fled toward the wilderness to the rock of Rimmon, and remained at the rock of Rimmon 4 months. And the men of Israel turned back against the people of Benjamin and struck them with the edge of the sword, the city, men, and beasts, and all that they had found. And all the towns that they found, they set on fire. So if you've been following along with us, you'll know that last week we followed the story of a Levite and his concubine. It's a long and graphic story where at the end of it all, the Levite's concubine has been sexually assaulted and abused in a terrible manner by the men of Gibeah, a clan or city of Benjamin, and this woman was left for dead. She was dead. In response to that, the Levite takes his concubine and cuts her up into 12 pieces and sends the pieces throughout all the territory of Israel. Now, there's a lot going on here, but and a lot of it is very heavy and tragic. But we saw very little of God in the midst of all of this. He's mentioned here and there, and we read about people who make claims on behalf of God, but nothing from God himself. No words, no instructions or actions that he takes on behalf of his people. In the midst of all of these tragic events, there is absolutely no mention of God. God is obviously present, but to the Israelites, it doesn't even matter whether he's there or not. But then we begin to see a change in behavior, which I believe is actually an act of grace and mercy from God, and I'll explain why in a little bit. We get to chapter 20, and we see that all of Israel came together and assembled as one man, united before the Lord, to try and deal with the problem of sin that was in their midst and bring about justice. To be honest, I don't really know what led them to do this. Was what they saw, you know, the pieces of this concubine woman, was it so terrible that they felt compelled to do this? Maybe. It certainly was graphic and catching people's attention. But whatever the exact reason, they come before the Lord and decide to confront the Benjaminites about this matter. Unfortunately, rather than listening, the Benjaminites gather up their armies to fight against the rest of Israel, resulting in a massive civil war. And that's where we get to today. This is where the beginning of our passage is set. And so the Israelites fight against the tribe of Benjamin for 3 days. On day one, verse 18, Israel inquires of God and asks who should go first. God says Judah. And so they go fight, but experience a big loss, 22,000 men destroyed. But it's worth noting that the Israelites inquired of the Lord. The people are not deterred, though. They take courage, it says, and again prepare for battle. They come before God and they inquire again, shall we fight again? God says yes. So they do, but experience another loss on day two, this time 18,000 men. The people turn to God once again, and this time the whole army comes before God and weeps. Additionally, they fast until evening and offer sacrifices to God. They inquire again, should we fight again or stop? But once again, God says to go, and this time they actually defeat the tribe of Benjamin. And you can read all about that again throughout the rest of this chapter if you like. There's a lot of detail in how this victory comes about. Now, I don't know if you caught this, but even in my quick summary or from the passage that we read, I noticed a progression in the Israelites. They go from being without God, you know, as I mentioned in chapters 19 and 20, and they go from being without God to actually eventually turning to God, and then all the way to recognizing how much they need him. This came about through great tragedy and loss, starting from what happened to the concubine, this woman, at the beginning of this civil war, and then actually during the process of this, they go from, yes, they inquired of the Lord, but by the end of it, they are repenting, they are fasting, they are offering sacrifices to the Lord, weeping before him, wanting to understand how God wants them to move. So this, again, comes about through great tragedy and loss. Literally tens of thousands of people are killed in this battle. But it does happen. They turn to the Lord. Now, sadly, it doesn't seem to last, and we'll read more about that tomorrow. But at least for now, we read that Israel has turned, or I guess I should say returned, to the Lord. God's desire is for us to be with him, because holding on to his love and following his ways leads to a blessed life. He desires for us to recognize how much we need him, to humble ourselves and return to him, and sometimes he'll point us back to him through circumstances that we would consider difficult and less than ideal. There's this quote by C.S. Lewis on this kind of thing. He once wrote, "The human spirit will not even begin to try to surrender self-will as long as all seems to be well with it. But evil is impossible to ignore. We can rest contentedly in our sins and in our stupidities, but pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world." Sometimes it's in our tragedies and brokenness that we recognize just how much we need God. And I'm not saying that God causes those things to happen. That's a whole other apologetic sermon on God and evil. But out of his grace, his mercy, and redemptive power, he's able to get our attention and turn us to him. It's possible that this is what happened to the people of Israel. They had been living apart from God, doing whatever they pleased. And we've seen this line over and over again, that there was no king in Israel at this time. But because of this tragedy with this concubine woman, because of the tragedy of the civil war and all the loss that came with it, it seems that the people of Israel are turning their attention more fully to God. So just to kind of personalize this, or you know, to wrap things up, are you going through a period of difficulty? Have you been going through season at all, maybe, where things have just been really tough? Or even as we look out into the world, do you see the brokenness and the tragedy? The war that's just begun more recently, the sickness of COVID and many other things that have ravaged our world. Let's turn to God. It may be that through these things, he is calling you and trying to get your attention. Regardless, let's recognize our need for him. Let's rely upon the Lord once again. Let's see how much we need him and turn to him and put our trust in him today. Let me pray for us to close. Lord God, we confess that we are so self-reliant at times. That like the people of Israel, we just want to do our own things. But Lord, it is out of your grace and your mercy that even through these things, you show us how much we need you. That we are broken people who are in need of a God who can save us. Lord, we obviously don't want to have to go through such tragedy and loss. And so, Lord, help us keep looking to you. Keep turning to you, God. Not that that means we won't go through difficulty, but Lord, we know that when we're with you, that we are on the right path. We can trust in you. That we can rest secure in your presence. And so, Lord, keep us where you are today. I pray for any of those who are going through difficulties of any kind. Lord, I pray that they would turn to you and experience the joy of being with you, receiving your strength, your guidance, and your wisdom. So, Lord, we thank you again. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.